Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for today. I humble myself under your mighty hand. Lord, indeed, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? But as you're going to the service, once again, I humble myself. I strip myself of every confidence that my yet have in my knowledge, ability to minister the word. But I place all of my confidence in your message. You make me a faithful steward. Minister today, you cause your word to go forth in power, in clarity, in simplicity, in the comfort and love of the Holy Spirit. Do an internal and eternal work in our hearts and life, causing our wills to become more humble, our minds more enlightened with revelation knowledge, and our emotions to further control by the power of the flow of the Spirit. Also, as our word goes forth, let it break yokes and let us set men free. I pray for everyone under the sound of my voice today, that give us, Lord God, individually and collectively, the spirit of wisdom and revelation in knowledge, so the eyes of our understanding will be flooded with light, that we know better the hope of your calling upon our lives, the riches of the glory of your inheritance in us, and the exceeding greatness of your resurrection power in Christ to us. I pray for mercy and grace to redeem the time, not to say things that are unnecessary. Though, Lord Spirit, I search up and right now, come and have your way. Thank you for what you do in our midst. We give all the praise and all the glory unto you, in Jesus' name. What do we mean by getting a crown of righteousness? A crown of righteousness here speaks of a crown of right doing. Say right doing, which is based on our right standing that we have through the blood of Jesus Christ. That is, as we all know, as Pastor has taught us, right doing here speaks of the perfection of the love of God. The book of Romans says that love does not do any ill to its neighbor. So if you perfect the love of God in this lifetime, that means you always do the right thing. That is, love will always do, because God is love. God always does what is right. So you come to that place whereby you perfect the love of God in your life, then God too will crown you in this lifetime with the crown of righteousness, the crown of right doing, which is the crown of glory, like we see in the book of Psalm 8, where it said God has crowned man with glory and honor. You see, we are not talking about a physical crown here, which I believe is literal when we get to heaven. We are talking about a crown of glory, that is the manifestation of the glory of God in our lives as a reward. But it's not something that we inherit when we get born again. We inherit it potentially, but we have to grow from servants, say from servants to princes and to kings. Now, once again, I'd like to encourage us to listen to Pastor's message he preached some months ago on servants, crown princes, and kings. This is our purpose as Christians. This is what we need to drum in the hearts of every Christian. That is, when you get born again, you are a servant. Not because you are working as a house helper or whatever, but because of the same nature that is normally predominant in your soul and body, which normally dominates. That's what makes you a servant. Bible says that you are servants of whom you obey. Are you following me? So that's what makes you a servant. But as you begin to pray and begin to grow, I will give the example of Jacob at Fort Jabbok. Bible says that God said, because he had prevailed with God and men, God said he was a prince with God. That is, you come to that place, you grow to become a prince or a crown prince. A crown prince is one that is destined to wear the crown. Are you all following me? So as Christians, we can all be crown princes. Are you following me? And then when we become a king, God now crowns us with his spirit without measure, which is what happened to Lord Jesus Christ at the baptism in Jordan. The heavens were opened, and God said, behold, this is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. And the spirit came upon you and abode like a dove. It was a permanent thing. And we said in summary, God is raising up kings in this end time. I will give the example of what kings do. But I said, where the word of the king is, there is what? There is power. It's very, very important. I would say that a king will scatter all evil with his eyes, just with his thought life alone. Are you following me? He can scatter all evil with his eyes. So these are the things that we as Christians should aspire to, so that we too can inherit this crown of glory. Praise the Lord. So I'll quote the scripture to support it before we continue. Philippians chapter 3, verse 14. This is what Paul said. He said, I press towards the mark. Philippians 3, 14. You see, he said that, not put it past that thing. He said that, not as though I'd already attained. He said, but I forget the things that are behind. I reach for those that are before. And I said, I press toward the mark for the price of a high calling of God in Christ Jesus. There is a price at the end of the day. The price is what you get when you win a race. If you participate in a 100-meter dash, when you win, they will come and give you either a gold medal. Are you following me? So that is the price we are all running after to inherit in this lifetime. We need that glory in this lifetime. Our Bible says, Romans says that the whole world is waiting for the manifestation
of the sons of God. Praise the Lord. So it's very, very important for us. So that's where we stopped the last time. And I took time to explain to us what it means to obtain this crown of righteousness, which is our purpose and destiny. I also quoted from the book of John, where Jesus Christ said, to this cause was I born, that I might bear witness to the truth. I follow when Paul is asking myself, are you a king? So also we are kings in Christ Jesus. Bible says God has made us kings and priests unto God. Praise God. So today we'll be moving further. And let us read from 2 Timothy. We'll read it from verses 9 to 13. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. So read after me. Verse 9. So Paul now began to instruct Timothy. He said, do thy diligence to come shortly unto me, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Christians to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. 11. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. Verse 12. And Tychicus have I sent to Ephesus. Verse 13. The cloak that I have left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee. And the books, but especially the parchments. Praise the Lord. You see, when I was reading that aspect, I mentioned Demas. Some people say, Folks, every Christian has in his soul and body the nature of Demas. As I continue, we'll see. See, the problem here is that Paul says something. He said, Demas, in verse 10, he said, let me from verse 9, he said, do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. Why? The question is, why was he beckoning on Timothy to come? Because a fellow soldier had left his position. It's like Aaron and all, when they were raising up Moses' hands and Joshua was fighting against the Amalekites. What would have happened if all or Aaron should leave? That is one arm will come down. So Moses will have had to call for somebody else to come and replace Aaron. So here we see Paul. You see, if you read the letters of Paul towards the end of his, all of his letters, it will have these mighty men like David. Those that stood with him. Those that laid down their lives for him. Some people like Carpus. Bible mentions him once. But forever is in annals of scripture. So he began to acknowledge them. He began to mention them. And before, let me just mention ahead of time, this is one thing we need to do. We need to appreciate everyone that God brings into our orbit as Christians. No matter what they do, no matter how little it may be. Why? Because if you remove them from that particular position, then you might not be able to have the freedom to serve God like you want to. But Bible says, no man cometh unto the Father except my Father draws him. So God draws people to you. It could be your helper, it could be your cleaner. For Naaman, it was their house help that was captured. And in that little girl, locked Naaman's key to his healing. Praise the Lord. So he said, do that again to come shortly unto me. In NIV, he says, do your best to come to me quickly. And I said, why? Say four. Four means because Demas had what? Forsaken me. Now the question is, why had Demas forsaken him? He puts the next line. Say, having loved this present world. Let's say that having loved this present world and is departed to Thessalonica. Now, what I want to say is, departing to Thessalonica was not the problem. It was having loved this present world. Are you all with me? Because, you know, Paul himself in Acts 17 verse 1 was once in Thessalonica. So it's not really where you depart to. It's what drives you to where you depart to. We need to understand that. So you see, we don't begin to, you know, accuse people wrongly that maybe God led them by the Spirit to where they are. And they will begin to say, don't be too sure. Bible says that God sent a man ahead of him, talking about Joseph. But the issue is every man in his own heart will know what has led him to where he or she has gone to. So like I said, it is not the issue of the departing to Thessalonica was not the issue. It was the wall that led him to Thessalonica. Are you all with me? So Acts chapter 17 verse 1, to put a point behind this, talking about Paul. See, now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. So Paul, too, at one time in his life, was a minister in Thessalonica. So Thessalonica was not the issue. But the issue here is that Demas had departed having left this present world. Praise the Lord. So it's very important for us to know. And let us look at Demas for some time. Demas was once a co-worker with the Apostle Paul, together with people like Mark and Luke. You see, these last few verses, I'm trusting God will be able to finish either today or the next time. It is not how well, like one will say, it is not how well you start, but how well you finish. As we continue, we see somebody like John Mark, he left, but he came back. But at the end of Paul's life, all we know is that Demas departed. There's no record that he came back. And Paul puts the reason there, because he had loved this present world. Let's open to Philemon chapter 20. Philemon is only one chapter, verses 23 to 24. Paul was talking as his custom was. Can you imagine? This guy was known in the churches. He was somebody that Paul trusted and he could send to different places. You see, don't despise or don't condemn Demas. Because the issue was that he loved the present world. I want to see what it means to love the present world. It's not going to go and drink beer or traveling abroad. It is more than that. Are you all with me? So what does he say? He says that, there saluted thee, Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ. Verse 24. He now says, Marcus is John Mark. Aristarchus, and what? Demas, Lucas, my fellow laborers. That is, Demas had an understanding of the vision initially, like John the Baptist. He understood it. He laid down everything and he followed Paul. Colossians chapter 4, verse 14. So look, beloved physician, and Demas greet you. You see, for Paul to be putting their names, those who were greeting, this one should greet you, that means he held those working with him in high esteem. Or else if there are bad people, won't put their name there. Are you following me? It's very important for us. So I put in my note, what happened to Demas? In summary, Demas was overcome by the spiritual power operating behind the world. Say, Demas was overcome by the spiritual power that was operating in the world. This is when we talk about the world, we've been taught here, it's not going to drink beer or all the things that we see, you know, adultery, fornication. No. You see, there is a force behind the world. Let's open our Bibles to 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 to 16. Let's see how the Bible defines the world. 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 to 16. Are we there? The Apostle John was saying, love not the world. Let's look at that. Love not the world. None of the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all, say all, that's in the world, now begins to define all that is in the world. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but of the world. I want us to take note that here, the Apostle John was writing to Christians. He said that if any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. I thought the Bible says that the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts. What it means is that the love of Christ is not dominating his will, his mind, and his emotions. Because the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. So when he says that love of the Father is not in me, he's not saying that love of the Father is not in the Spirit. It's in the Spirit when you get born again. But if that love is supposed to make its way into your, through your will, your mind, your emotions, and begins to dominate your thinking, begin to dominate what you do. If it's dormant in your spirit man, then the world will begin to dominate and you begin to live like an unbeliever. I often do not live like unbelievers in Jesus' name. Say, for all that's in the world, the loss of the, say, the loss of the flesh, the loss of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father. So here we see the problem. And that same problem is still operating today. So, in as much as we would not like to be like Demas, the most important aspect for us to take it to is to ourselves to ensure that this force, this spiritual force that moved Demas from his place of assignment away to Thessalonica does not operate in our lives. Praise the Lord. What is this force? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2 in NIV. He explains this better. Before I read Ephesians chapter 2, verses 2 and 3 in NIV, I'll do some explanations. You see, when we got born again, God removes the sin nature totally from our spirit. But we still have a residual sin nature in our soul and in our physical body. And that acts as a fifth column. That's what Satan triggers from outside. You see, many Christians, I dare say, don't understand this. Instead of us to teach God's people that there's a residual sin nature in the soul and in the body, we teach them legalism. Don't do this. Wear this. Tie scarf. Don't do this. All those things cannot survive the enemy when he attacks. That's why Christ said something. He said, if you look at a woman lustfully in your mind, say, you have done it. You can tie your scarf. You can wear your cap. You can whatever you want to do. These are spiritual forces. It's like having a SIM card in my phone. I use Airtel. I'm advertising for Airtel. Are you following me? I cannot stop them from sending messages to my phone unless I switch off my phone. But the moment the phone goes on, I follow at least from the service center. I follow me. The moment the phone goes on, they can send whatever they want to send. You see, I'm getting out of myself. Nobody departs from the faith in one day. It starts a little at a time. You get up, you don't feel like praying. Then you go back and you go to sleep. I'm not saying if you've done this, no, it just about 4-7 times. When it now becomes a habit, then you start cutting on your prayer time. 2.5 hours becomes 2 hours. Nothing happens. 2 hours becomes 1 hour. Gradually becomes, and that time, Satan is very bad. He will allow you to continue. So that when you are now settled down properly, he now moves like he did for David. I follow me. That might be a portion of Jesus' name. So what am I saying? We need to recognize that there is nature that is alien to us in our souls and in our bodies. That's why Paul says something in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 1. He said we have a sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but trust in the living God. You can put it there, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, I believe. Okay, I don't know the exact verse. He said that we have the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but trust in the living God, who had delivered us from so great a death, is delivering us, and we trust. Let's read together. No. And I put it in King James. Put it in King James. So I want to explain. This is the Apostle Paul. We see the same thing. He said the same thing in the book of Romans. He said, the things I want to do, I can't do it. The things I don't want to do, I find myself doing it. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves. What's he talking about? Physical death. Talking about spiritual death. It's a sentence. It's a death sentence. Which, if you do not arrest daily, it will make you do what you did not want to do. It says that we should not trust in ourselves. So we should not trust in ourselves. So you can't trust in your physical ability to resist sin. Say, but that we should trust in God, which raised the dead. Next verse. Now look at it. Who delivered us from so great a death? Remove the sin from our spirit, man. And God deliver us. This is where we are now. And we trust that we are yet deliver us. Till the spirit, soul, and body is totally sanctified. Are you all with me? So let's now go back to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 2 to 3. There's a spiritual force in the air, Satan. The Bible calls him the prince of the power of the air. He's very intelligent, coordinated attack. Before you get up in the morning, he's waiting right there for you. So he releases those forces. So NIV says, in which you used to live, when you followed the ways of the world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us, say all of us, also live among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature. Say sinful nature. And following his desires and thoughts. So this is what happens. Satan releases spiritual forces like a text message. It comes to your mind. And when it comes to your mind, it looks natural. Either you have to do this today. Whatever the temptation is, you can see the list in the book of Galatians chapter 5, where it lists the lust of the flesh. you know, adultery, fornication, whatever, anger, whatever. So when he releases it into your mind, at that time is when you take it captive. If you allow the thoughts to settle down and begin to meditate upon it, eventually I go to act it out. And the Bible says, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So that's how Satan operates. So at one point in time in the life of Demas, who had an understanding of the times and what Israel ought to do, he began to, I believe he was negligent. Or like many people, you know, they prioritize activity in ministry. It's a dangerous place to be. Because when you prioritize activity in ministry, people will be praising you. So there's nobody like you. This guy just makes things happen. Well, folks, your primary calling is your first love. He said to the Ephesian church, say, I know your works. Say, you have left your first love. He said, now repent and do the first works. So you see, you cannot return to your first love if you don't do the first works, which in summary is the work of faith with power. Get up in the morning and pray with tight your time. Once you get up in the morning and you hold, if Satan takes every other thing from you, make sure he does not take away the first 1.5 hours minimum, the tithe of your day. Or else, if you allow him through circumstances, or if you love the praise of men, and you get involved in activity, you will find that sooner or later, see, you can be preaching. See, folks, I don't judge myself by what I preach. I don't. You don't understand. I don't. You see, because there's a deception. You can get up in the morning. You may not pray. Are you following me? And then you will come here because people have prayed for you. You're under covering. And then you come and you minister. Then by the time you step up, there's nobody like you. I've learned over the years. Never to judge myself by what I preach. Folks, on my phone, every day when I pray, is on my phone. Have you done this? I make sure I tick it every day. I'm not ticking to send so that people can say, okay, I've done it. No. This is an issue between me and God. If it is man that is going to judge at the end of the day, then you can beg man. But it's God that searches the reins of the earth. We're not talking about even, we're talking about the motivation for what you are doing. So you can be in any arm of ministry. You can be preaching, you can be singing, you can be, folks, Samson was anointed. At the end of the day, you see how he fell. That means he did not take it to himself. I'm getting out of the past. Think of Deuteronomy chapter 17. Pastor keeps saying this thing. He says that when you make a king, he said, let him write for himself a copy of the law. I'm sure Demas did not write that copy. Or he had it and he lost it. He said, so that his heart not be lifted up against his brethren. So no multiply wise with himself. You see, because we are contending with spiritual forces. It's not a question whether I like it or I don't like it. I quoted from Romans chapter 7 verse 20 the other day. Paul was talking. He said, if then I do the things that I don't want to do, he said, put it in verse, Romans chapter 7 verse 20. He said, now if I do that, I would not. It is no more I, Jared, that does it, but sin that dwelleth in me. But the Bible says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that in Christ Jesus. For the law, don't stop there. For the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. Not to activate that law daily is dangerous. We'll do it in Jesus' name. So what are we saying? I said there's a spiritual power released through the air, operating on the sin nature in the minds and bodies of men, activating the lust of the flesh, of the eyes, and the pride of life. That's how it's a coordinated attack. When you understand this, you, like Pastor shares all the time, you take it like law of gravity and the law of sin. If I leave this place today and I say, I feel like going to the top of Cocoa House and I will jump down, nothing will happen to me. It's not a question of feeling, folks. It's a law. Once you don't activate that law, or you stop activating it as it ought to, the law of life will stop operating, the law of gravity goes into operation, and the person comes down. So also the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. It's something you activate every day, daily. Thank God, because we are in a corporate setting. There are times we are weak. God helps us. But you don't stay on the ground. You quickly get back and start taking your call. Don't wake up and say, I don't feel like praying today. Okay, I'm okay. No, it's not about that. It's a spiritual law. Satan does not go to sleep. Praise the Lord. So this is what happened, I believe, to Demas. It didn't start one day. It must have been gradual. In the process of running around the ministry, okay, Demas, go to this place. Okay, so and so, go and do this. Timothy, you go here. You see, do you need to tell? This is one mistake you must never make. I gave an example. I said, if you have two children, maybe one is 2 and the other is 15 or 16. Do you need to tell the 16-year-old not to weep in bed? It's ridiculous. By the time you are in ministry, you should understand that what keeps you going is not the physical activity you are doing, but the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. If you now live that like Demas, I believe, did, I now focus on the activity of ministry. Multiply bread today. Feed 5,000, including Judas. But did not activate that law. I can see how he wound up. One I want to say is, it's not that God had written it that Demas should forsake Paul. No. In fact, if he wasn't faithful, God would have brought him to Paul in the first place. But see, over a period of time, like David, I said, when kings ought to go to battle, say, tarry still. Then the Bible says, why men slept. I mean, this is what happened to Demas. I will not be a portion of Jesus. Let's look at Galatians 5, verse 17 in NLT. Say, the sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are opposite to what the sinful nature desires. These two forces, I'm reading from NLT, New Living Translation. These two forces are constantly fighting each other. So you are not free to carry out your good intentions. Every Christian has good intentions. Everybody wants to. It's ridiculous for you to find somebody that wake up one day and say, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. No. We all have good intentions. But we also need to recognize that it's an alien nature in our souls. But I keep repeating this. So when you understand it, get not to pray in the morning is not an option. Praying with tongues is not an option. Then praying enough is not an option. Praying enough is the key. You can get up in the morning and pray for 5 minutes. It's like me waking up this morning. And let us take somebody from a children's church. The amount of food that will satisfy that child, maybe it's just a small bowl of rice. And I get up and I eat that in the morning and go up. Will you feel me? No. Wake up. It's praying enough. Say praying enough. Yes. You see, that little child with me, wake up and eat a small bowl of rice. And be okay because he has a small tummy, spiritually speaking. But you, by reason of time, if you eat and you're not satisfied, you will know. Won't you know? You will know. So what do you do? Go back and eat more. But a full soul, loaded and honeycomb. But an hungry soul, every bitter thing is sweet. So it's praying enough. Watching and praying always. So for that little child, God will cover him through the covering of those over us. He will preserve him because he knows he doesn't. He can't do more than that. But for you, you know. Because when you go out in the day and your flesh acts up, you should be able to retrace your steps and say, what happened? Okay, I woke up late. I must say every time you wake up late, things bad will happen to you. No, because this thing is now becoming a recurring decimal. Then you cannot retrace your steps and say, Lord, please, I'm sorry. Judge yourself, set your will, and then bounce back again. Praise the Lord. It's very important for us. One more scripture, Romans chapter 7, verse 20, in Amplified Bible. I already mentioned, the Amplified says, but if I'm doing the very thing I do not want to do, I'm no longer the one doing it. That is, it is not me that acts, but the sin nature which lives in me. So there's a sin nature in you and I, waiting to act out the desires of the enemy. See, Pastor said this years ago on this pulpit. He said that what happens is this. There are things that Satan wants to do that he cannot do because he doesn't have a physical body. So he acts it out in human beings, Christians and unbelievers. So when you see somebody say, you heard that somebody went and killed somebody. No, that's Satan through his nature acting out what he could not do because he doesn't have a physical body. So also, the verse is this. If you have the sufficient amount of life of God in your soul and body, you act out what God will normally do. Praise the Lord. It's very important for us to know that. And in my notes, we have overcome the world. God wants us to overcome. It's not that we cannot, just I said something and get out of myself. He said, be of good cheer. John chapter 16, verse 3. He said, in the world you have tribulation. So be of good cheer. I have what? Overcome. Meaning that you follow his example and his pattern, the way he did it. Let's say, wake up a great time before dawn. We'll go to a solid place and pray. Who in the Jesus of his flesh, and offer our prayers and supplication with strong kind and tears until you are saved from death. And it was holding that he fell. Though you were his son, yet learned your obedience by things you suffered. Ask yourself this question. Why would the Lord Jesus Christ, born without this nature of the devil in his soul and body and his spirit, have to pray? Because there is the power of the devil in the air. The book of Job says, man drinketh iniquity like water. There's a nature in the air, folks. We need to understand. You see, when I listen to some of these messages that pastor has taught, I meditate on them. I wonder what is being taught the people in the body of Christ. So you see people under condemnation all the time. They don't even know what to do. They are not even aware there's a power in the air. Who say, my spirit told me. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. It says, for whatsoever is born of God does what? Overcome the world, and this is the victory that overcome the world, even our faith. So, you see, our faith in the exercise of the use of the blood, the one and the spirit, will overcome the loss of the flesh, the loss of the eyes, and the pride of life. You see, if you read the book of Galatians, it says, walk in the spirit. It didn't say maybe, and you shall not. Say, you shall not. You feed loss of the flesh. So, anytime you feed loss of the flesh, either it's anger, whatever it is, you are not walking in the spirit at that time. That's what it means. She must be able to tell herself the truth. This is when you tell yourself the truth in your heart, that you can now repent and then go back and then now apply more diligence to practice these things. Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 1, it says, you shall never fall. That's what God said. I didn't say it. I'm not saying I'm there yet, but I agree because God said it. So I need to work more on my diligence. He uses blood, the word, and the spirit diligently to overcome the loss of the flesh, the loss of the eyes, the pride of life. So before we blame Demas, let's make sure that we are diligently applying the blood, the word, and the spirit. So I put him and I said, beware of spiritual negligence. Now I will mention a story as I was bearing. It's not to make us afraid, but for us to take it to ourselves. I said, too much is given, much is required. As I was preparing, God reminded me of a woman in Kenneth Hagin's book that I believe in visions. Just as I was speaking to him, and then all of a sudden, he saw this woman. So Kenneth Hagin said, of course I know this woman in the world. Yes, yes. And I said, he says that just as I said, this woman was a child of mine in ministry. So it doesn't mean that you're in ministry or not. In fact, the instruction in ministry is even more. Yes. You see, learn from Jesus Christ. He will finish ministering like this. He said, guys, I'll see you on the other side. Go and pray. Learn. Anytime you finish doing some spiritual activity that is taking life out of you, go back and replenish. Don't just keep on running on an empty tank. That is why you find out, some people say, people, you are most vulnerable at your most successful time. This is because the life has depleted. That's why you're vulnerable. Just can't say, I'll see you on the other side. While others were sleeping, Mark 1:35, you wake up, run to a solitary place, and there pray. Feel his tank. Then you pause. You feel again. Pause. That is life we have been called to. There's no holiday in Christianity. So he said that, just as he said, this man was once a child of mine in ministry. And then he showed in the vision. He said he saw a small demon sit on the woman's shoulder. He was a very beautiful man. In fact, I listened to one of Kendrick's tapes some time ago. In his own words, he said the woman was so beautiful. He was saying it on tape. But I'm reading from talking from the book. He said, so this demon will come and sit on the woman's shoulder in ministry and whisper to her and say, ah, you're such a beautiful woman. Okay. You're suffering this thing. That, in paraphrasing, he said, this straight and narrow, you know, you're believing that glory will come, it has not come. You're really suffering. If you're in the world, you know, you have made more money and all that and all this. He said, initially, the woman will resist it. And the thing will go away. After some time, Bible says that even Jesus Christ said Satan left for a season. He will always come back. He will come back and check whether the house is void, garnished, and empty. So he came back again and sat on the woman's shoulder. About two or three times, well, cut long story short, the woman started believing it. in her heart. So he said, gosh, the woman became transparent in the vision. And then he saw a little dot appear in the woman's soul. Initially, it was an oppression from outside, the prince of power of the air. But each time, just had to take care of it. He said, she could have resisted this foul spirit. She could have resisted this foul spirit. But she began to enjoy it. Began to think, it's true, I'm beautiful. What am I doing here? If I had done this, maybe if I married this person, this would not have happened to me. He started resenting the ministry of the husband. The dot now moved from the soul to the heart. She became obsessed. And then she left her husband and went after different men, misbehaving all over the place. And the funny thing is, he just kept telling her, thinking that, look, even if she had had 100 men and come back, I would have forgiven her. But you see, the thing you need to understand about sin is very deceptive. It's very, very, the Bible said, be careful in the book of Hebrews. He said, he's talking about the deceitfulness of, he said, lest your heart be hardened to the deceitfulness of sin. Put it on the board. Sin can harden your heart. It will harden your heart. It will harden your heart. If you don't deal with it, that I get up in the morning, praying, groaning, and all these things. You see, groaning is not something that is, when you understand it, nobody will beg you to pray. All kinds of prayer in this prayer. Anyway, cut long story short, the woman left. Okay. He said, but exhort one another daily. Says so the daily affair. Why it is called today? Lest any of you be what? Hardened through what? The deceitfulness of sin. Don't play with sin, though. I'm not talking about Adrian. In the nature. Don't play with it. So anyway, what happened? At the end of the day, she rejected Christ. She said, I don't want them to just Christ again. And that moment, her spirit left her body and went to hell. And just Christ took her and said, she's going to spend the rest of her life in the region of the damned. Then he started praying. And said, Lord, please. He said, no. And I told him that story. I don't want to turn there. That's talking about those who have been enlightened, Hebrews chapter 6, who have tasted of the heavenly gift, have tasted of the powers of the age to come, you know, and all this and all that. Say, if they repent, they cannot come back again. Now, that does not apply to baby Christian. That's what we're talking about. Who doesn't know his left from his right? Are you following me? So we don't get under condemnation because we made a mistake. That's what I'm saying. But see, by reason of time, you may not even be in ministry. When he was talking to Hebrew Christians, he wasn't talking to those who are in ministry. He said that by reason of time, you ought to be teachers. That is, by reason of time, if you do not take it, if you are negligent spiritually, the enemy can come, but will not come in Jesus' name. So that's why I said, he began to pray, say, Lord, please, what will happen? I said, God said, no, leave her. There's nothing you can do about it. It's irreversible. What that means is, till tomorrow, that woman is still there. Why? But it started a little at a time. Folks, nobody starts smoking hemp in one day. It's a little. You go and strike the match in the kitchen. The smoke of the mastic will enter your nose. You will cough. Instead of you to say, stop. That's how nobody starts in one day. Then the next thing, you roll paper. The next thing, you go and, in those days, you should have this mask that outside sell. It's not the one that they make with rubber. You cut it. Then it's a little at a time. It's a little at a time. Nobody goes into marriage in one day. Go and ask from David. From the wilderness. Are you following me? From the wilderness. He went and said, go and bring that big girl for me. Read that story very well. If read that story, it's not a man. Read that story very well. Abigail had a problem. Terrible problem. Number one, how can you speak evil of your husband? The Bible says the believing wife should sanctify the husband. Why couldn't Abigail sanctify her husband? And it was calling her husband a son of Belial. Notice that she did not even mourn when he died. Immediately sent for her. What's the pakere? What's the law? Read between the scriptures. If you read the scriptures, she was the first person that David married, right? By the time you got to the next chapter, the Bible says that he started listening and said, Abigail, then she married Anoam of Jezreel. In next thing, law first mentioned, kicked into place. There are reverses. Anoam became number one, Abigail became number two. We never hear anything about her again. So what am I saying? Nobody starts in one day. You pick your phone, and then maybe you are reading something. Then this thing pops up. Maybe it's glow. And you show a woman that is wearing bikini. Instead of you to quickly remove it, then you linger on it. That's how it starts, so folks. That's how it starts. Satan is very bad. He's called the prince of the power of the air. It's a little at a time. Something to push it away. Then you wait for some time. And next time you spend more time. The Bible says that they that tarry long are the wine. Don't tarry long. Whatever the situation is, when the temptation comes up, you cannot afford to be negligent or lazy spiritually. Take the thought captive. I say, think only of things that are true, honor your spirit, love your group of. So what am I saying? Let's get back to the story of Demas. I said, we should beware of spiritual negligence and spiritual laziness. Are you following me? So that this thing doesn't creep on us. Let's go to, why is this message important? 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Let's read. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Are we there? What did Paul say? So, these are seducing spirits. It says, now the spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times, some shall what? Depart from the faith, e.g. Demas, giving heed to what? Seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. These are seducing spirits. Come and whisper to you. Tell you things that will take you off course. Not go off course in Jesus' name. So I want to be very careful in this end time. Praise the Lord. It's very important. Verse 11. So Paul began to talk. Verse 11. What does verse 11 say? Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for it's profitable to me for the ministry. Thank God for the beloved physician Luke. You see, what I want to say, don't look at the example of Demas. Look at people like Luke, Christians. If they can make it, Demas had no excuse. They were all exposed to the same prince of the power of the air. But one chose to be negligent, and the others chose, in spite of the work they were doing. We are not, there's nowhere that is written that Demas was in charge of a particular congregation. Why people like Titus, Timothy, with so much responsibility, yet did not succumb? So it's not an excuse for Demas. So what are we saying? I want us to contrast Demas and John Mark. You see, you begin to see Paul. It was the same Paul that refused and said, no, John Mark cannot follow me. He now sends for John Mark. He said, it's profitable for me for the gospel. That means at the initial stage when he left, he was an unprofitable servant. Are you following me? Let's read. The story of John Mark and Demas reminds you of the parable of the two sons. When they said, go and walk in the vineyard. One said, I go not. The Bible said, he repented and he went. Then the other one said, I go. Say, I go, sir. Then did not go. Just as I said, which one of them did the will of the Father? John Mark or Demas? It's not how well you start, but how well you finish. Acts chapter 13, verse 13. As I begin to round up, let's see how what happened in Mark. So now when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga in Pamphylia, and John, departing from them, returned toward Jerusalem. Acts chapter 15, verses 38 to 39. But Paul, when he came back, after he left, he came back, thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia, and went not with them to the work. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder, one from the other. So Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus. That was Paul's hometown. But something must have happened while he was with Barnabas. He must have seen that, this man, this thing you are preaching, will not enter the canon of scripture. Yes. Or how else will you be in a place that Paul will send for him? You see, like John the Baptist, he kept on announcing that someone is coming. Someone is coming. Then when the person finally came, said, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. I say, two of his disciples joined him. What happened to the remaining? That day, they should have left. But they were still following some God that left until they beheaded the man, the ones that went to go and bury him. May we know who to follow. You see, what keeps us together is the word of God and the vision. That's it. That's it. But say, follow me as I what? Follow Christ. They should have left immediately that John the Baptist gave the announcement, this is the person we are waiting for. But they still stood there. They stood there. And what does that mean? The same way that John could not move in the spirit of Elijah or in the power of Elijah, those that stayed with him could not move in the spirit and the power of Elijah. That's what it means. So anyway, he came back. But John, Acts chapter 15, verses 39, 38 to 39. But Paul thought it not good. I think I've read that. You know, it's okay. So over time, he said, go and bring it for me. Because it's profitable for me. And look at John Mark. John Mark comes back and writes the book of Mark. So again, folks, don't let's give up on people. When people make mistakes, ask life for them and pray in the spirit. God is able to bring them back. Praise the Lord. Let me stop by reading verses 12 and 13. And what is it? Verses 12 and 13. Let's read verse 12 and 13. And Tychicus have I sent to Ephesus. Next verse. The cloak that I have left in Troas with Caphas, when thou comest, bring with thee. And the books, especially the parchments. Let's talk about the cloak. Why would Paul send for the cloak? If you go down to somewhere in the latter verse, he was telling Timothy the second time. He said, make thy haste to come diligently before winter. So he needed the cloak. Because winter was coming in. Can you find it? Just put it there as I talk about it, as I round up. It's somewhere towards the end of this same chapter. He said that they should bring the cloak. All he could commit to Caphas, as far as we know, is his cloak. Yes. Verse 21. Yes. He said, you bring the cloak. Why would he say bring the cloak? 21. Verse 21. Say, do that, telling Timothy the second time, do that to come before winter. It's going to be very cold, so bring the cloak. There's a lot to learn there. The one that same one that told Timothy, he said, take some wine for the often stomach infirmities. You don't lead a quiet, careless life because you're in ministry. Go back to verse 13. And I'll stop there by the grace of God. He says that bring with thee the books, say the books, and especially the parchments. Why will he be sending for those books and parchments? I thought you wrote half of the New Testament. The fact that you wrote something does not mean that you can retain the memory or the knowledge of you. Paul says faith comes by hearing and hearing by. So Paul sent. I believe the books was talking about the law of Moses, the Torah. The parchments. Parchments are things written on animals. He says, bring that. This is all right. At times I'm praying and religion is just flowing. And then at times I go and listen to a message. I say, did you actually say this? And I'm wondering, where did this come out from? So you have to go back and check your own notes and then check what you said. So Paul said, bring the parchments for me. I have to go over them again. So that why the vision can be clear. The light can burn brighter and brighter unto the perfect day. Was it not Paul that said, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly the word, dividing the word of truth. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Let's talk to God. God will help us so we'll not be like Demas. We'll follow the example of Luke, the beloved physician. This is why Paul's mighty men, they stood with him unto the end. It's not how well you start or how well you finish. Demas started well, but somehow his testimony was not so good. But we have the example of Luke, the beloved physician, that wrote the book of Acts. Titus is another example. We'll get to him later. These are men that understood. But I've told us the key today. It's not the ministry work that takes us to your destiny. It's your doing the first works. Don't be like the Ephesian Christians. Say, I know your works. So we have left your first love. He said, repent from where thou hast fallen. He said, do the first works. Let's stand to our feet. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's talk to God. I'm thinking of a song. Just a minute, I'm thinking of a song. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus.
I have decided.
I have decided, to follow Jesus.
No turning back.
No turning back.
No turning back.
No turning back.
I have decided.
I have decided.
I have decided
to follow Jesus.
I have decided.
I have decided
to follow Jesus.
To follow Jesus.
I have decided.
I have decided
to follow Jesus.
To follow Jesus.
The wall behind me.
The wall behind me. The cross before me.
The wall behind me.
The wall behind me.
The cross before me.
The cross before me.
Behind
the cross before
you, turning back,
no turning back,
no
turning back.
Let's talk to the Lord. The Bible says that greater is He that's in us than he that's in the world. Let's respond to the Lord. I say, Lord, please have mercy on us. And so we're clean with the blood from all unrighteousness. We receive your life and your power in sufficient measure as we pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that has come to me today, reminding me that although I am in the world, but I'm not of this world. I ask for fresh mercy and grace to enable me to daily, diligently use the blood, the word and the spirit to overcome the loss of the flesh, the loss of the eyes and the pride of life. As I pray in the spirit with groanings and I walk diligently in the spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's pray in tongues. Oh, Father, thank you. Robasanto, Lord, just thank you. Oh, Romasanta, Robasanta, Rabakuri, Masanta, Rabakuria, Rubosanta, Rabakuri, Masanta, Rabakuria, Rubos, Ramasarabuia, Rabasuntra, Masalabukurumo, Sekedara, Bakuria, Bakustoprene. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's pray for healing. Bible says, He sent His word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. If you have a need for healing, or you are troubled in your mind, or you are facing a challenge, an infirmity, God wants to give you a push as we pray under the covering of our fathers. And Father, I thank you for the hands of those that are raised up. Lord God, how they need a healing, Lord, in their physical body, or in their soul at this time. Those whose souls are agitated, I speak peace be still with every raging storm in the name of Jesus Christ. After you sent your word and you healed them, I divide them for their destruction. Father, I remit our sins by the blood of Jesus Christ. And I send forth your healing word to heal them of every attack of Satan against their souls, their bodies, and their circumstances in the name of Jesus Christ. So ask the Father, my God, you supply every need according to your riches and glory to confirm your word with signs following. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord.